you who are staying, please turn your Bible to the book of 1 John. 1 John, and turn your phones on. Now listen, I have watched y'all this week. Y'all have checked in at every restaurant. I mean, y'all have checked in everywhere. Check into the church this morning. Let everybody know that you are here worshiping our Lord. Oh, I want some of those for my anniversary. But check in and let everybody know that you are worshiping our Lord and Savior this morning at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. And it's good to be here. Amen. I pray that all of you feel the presence of the Lord, and pray that you do with the reading and the preaching of His Word this morning. Last week, as we continued in our series called Back to the Basics, we remembered that we are living in a world that is coming to an end. I hope you've told yourself that a couple of times this week. I hope that as you've watched the news, and listen, I've told y'all, you better be watching Israel. You better be watching Israel. You better be watching Israel. Just this past week, listen, they took the flag down off the dome. It's getting ready to get real over there. You hear me? You better be watch Israel. But listen, we're living in a world that's coming to an end. We are living in the end times. The reason for this message was that we are not living our lives as if we believe we are living in the end times. We're living like we will always have tomorrow to do the things that God has called us to do today. We learn that Jesus has given us strong indicators in Scripture that we may know that the time of His return is near. We learn that He told us to be alert. Scripture tells us to be alert. And listen, church, we're to be alert because Jesus told us to be alert. Well, I don't want to be. Jesus told you to. That's reason enough. But He also told us that we need to be alert because the lost world needs us to be ready and willing to tell the truth, and because God is counting on us, His creation, to do and to be what He has created us to be, and that's a witness for Him in these end days. This morning, as we continue in our series, I want you to all to remember that Jesus has always, God has always, and will forever, always give us, listen, He'll always give us a way out. Always. Now, I want y'all to pay attention. I promise you this is not a long sermon, but I want you to get the gist of where this sermon is coming from this morning. You've got to get this, because I can't tell you the countless number of people that I've talked to, I've encountered. Listen, I'll go ahead and say every person who's ministered in any shape, form, or fashion has heard the question, why is this happening? What can I do? What does God want from me? How can I get out of this situation that I find myself in? This morning, I'm going to tell you how you can get out. God has always given man a way out. Always given man a way out. The sad truth is, man hasn't sought God. They've even seen the way out and said, no, I don't want to do it that way. They'd rather do things their own way, the wrong way, than take God's way, the right way, and it's the easy way. God has always given man a way out. So this morning, let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to determine if they are from God. Because many false prophets have come out into the world. Is this relevant to the day that we live in? Are there false prophets out there now? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's false prophets that say that they're God, and there's false prophets that say there is no God. But they're out there everywhere. Verse 2 says this. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard that he is coming, and he is already in the world now. His spirit, his essence, was in the world right then. Verse 4. You are from God. Hey, listen, let me stop here for a second. This is written to Christians, y'all who profess to be Christians. Listen, you are from God, little children, and you have conquered them Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Let's read that part again, because I think people, listen, this is one of those back to the basics. We know the Scripture, but we tend to forget it. We know the Scripture, and we'll even confess, listen, this Scripture is the truth, but we don't live like we know this Scripture is the truth. Listen, you are from God, little children, and you have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So what the Scripture's saying is, the one that lives inside of you is greater than the spirit that lives in the world. The one that battles with you, that battles with your flesh, that battles with your spirit, he's strong, and we give him way too much credit. We cannot defeat him. But this Scripture this morning tells us, greater is the spirit that lives within you than the spirit that's in this world. God always has given man a way out. Always. This morning, let's see how. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for this Scripture. God, we pray that you would open our eyes. Help us, God. Help every one of us this morning to stay awake. Shake us, Lord. Wake us. Lord, prepare us for this message. Not because it was me that prepared it. God, it was you that gave me the words to prepare. I was going in a totally different direction, and you brought me to where I am. So, God, thank you. Lord, I don't know who it is this morning who needs to hear this message. God, I really feel like there's somebody here this morning who has never accepted you as their personal Savior. They've listened, but they've never accepted. Lord, I pray that this morning this message will be heard, and during the invitation, they'll come to know you as their personal Savior. Lord, be with us this morning. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Do you know, church, that God has always given man a way out? Always. Brother Kyle, yeah, I guess so, because you've said it two or three times. I want you to understand this. When you walk out the door and somebody that you encounter at the restaurant here in a few minutes, they say, well, did you go to church this morning? Well, yeah, I did. What was the message about? Well, God has always given man a way out. That's what the message was about. And I want you to remember certain aspects of this. When somebody asks you midweek, did you go to church Sunday morning? I want you to say, yeah, yes, I did. Well, what did the preacher preach about? Because I wasn't able to come this morning. I was out hunting and I skipped church. What was the message about? And the message was about God always gives man a way out. That's exactly right. So I want you to get this. I want you to remember this. Church, God has always given man a way out. The Old Testament. The Old Testament, Courtney, it's all right. Hey, it's all right. Hey, listen, the Old Testament is a testimony of how God tried many ways over hundreds of years and multiple times to call the nation of Israel back to himself, his own chosen people. It's a testimony, the Old Testament. Hey, listen, let me just flip here for a second. I want to show you something here. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, some of y'all probably haven't ever seen this before, and this is what they teach you in Bible college to give application. So here's an application. You know, look at this. This is the Old Testament, this side right here. Okay? Old Testament. This is the New Testament right here on my right. The whole left side, my left side and your right side, is God's testimony of how he tried to give the Hebrew children a way out. In between the two testimonies is 400 years, called the 400 years of silence, but it's not really silent because during the intertestamental period, God was busy working. He was building the nation of Rome to come in, to create Roman roads, Roman highways, Roman system, give the people a form of government that Jesus and the gospel would thrive in. Jesus, listen, even in the 400 years of silence, God was at work giving man a way out. Giving man a way out. Now, church, listen. As we look at all the way back in Genesis, the ark that Noah built was man's way out of destruction. Did y'all know that? Now, we talked about that a few weeks ago when we were studying through the book of Genesis in our Sunday night class. And listen, everybody's invited. We want you to come. We're learning a lot. Listen, I've read through Genesis. I've read through Genesis many times. I've taught through Genesis, but I've never taught it verse by verse. I'm learning a lot, and I think everybody is. It's a great book. You're invited. But as we look all the way back and we look at this ark, the ark in itself and is beautiful. I think the Hallbakers, y'all went to see the ark. Y'all wanted to. You hadn't yet. In Ohio, I'd love to go see it. Did somebody in here went to go see that, didn't he? Terry Dole did. Okay. But God had Noah build this ark with the intent of saving animals and saving people from total destruction. God gave them a way out. Have y'all ever wondered why? Listen, have you ever wondered why it took 100 years to build? We're talking about God here. God had the ability to have him build it in 10 days if he wanted to, right? Or listen, a year or 2 years? How long did it take them to build the temple? About 50 years, 40 or 50 years. But this ark, 100 years. Why in the world did it take 100? Well, it was only one man. Yeah, it was only one man. But God was giving man ample time to come to him. Listen, not one person who was destroyed when the floodwaters came from above and below, not one person could stand before God and say, God, I didn't have an opportunity. I didn't have a chance. You didn't give me an ample opportunity to accept you. God's going to say, listen, you had 100 years. You mocked Noah. You threw your hands up and said, Noah is a crazy man. You wouldn't listen to Noah. But I gave you a way out. Do you know that there's Christians who have lost family? We all have lost family. And they're going to stand before God doing the same thing. I didn't know. And God's going to look at them the same way as those who died in the flood and say, listen, I gave you every opportunity. Every opportunity. But you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen. You would not listen to sound reason. Do you realize that God in the Old Testament parted the Red Sea as the Hebrew children escaped from Egypt? Can you imagine being there? And one day, Bob, I hope I'm able to stand with the Hebrew children and relive that event, Miss Edie. Because they had to have been scared to death. The Egyptian army behind them, they're pressing them fast. They can look in the distance, Brother Frank, and they can see the smokes from the chariots and all these men of war coming chasing after them. 2 to 3 million people stand at the edge of the water and don't know what to do. Probably half of them didn't know how to swim. I don't know, but they had everything they had with them. Standing at the edge of the water, and God said, God, hey, watch this. Hey, listen, I've always given you a way out. Did you really think that day was going to be a different day where I wasn't going to give you a way out, Miss Desi? Here, watch this. And he opens the Red Sea. Listen, 2 to 3 million people. It had to have been at least 5 miles wide for all of them to get through in the time period that Scripture says they got through. That's my God. And Scripture says it was on dry ground. On dry ground. What was God doing there? You can say God was doing a lot of things, but church, understand this. God was giving them a way out. They missed destruction again. He was giving them a way out. Listen, God gave the Hebrew children, 2 to 3 million of them, food and water and clothes for 40 years. Now, some of y'all have been buying school supplies this past week. As you look at this scripture, you think, you know, well, that's a pretty good deal. But after buying school supplies, you know that's a good deal. Food and water and clothes. Their clothes did not wear out. Now, men didn't bother, but some of those ladies had to wear the same outfit for 40 years. It didn't wear out. And you know they didn't complain. Oh, yeah, they did. Hebrew children, they complained about everything. Why did God do this? Because he was giving them a way out. Church, God gave Israel 10 commandments and later the Levitical laws to give them a way out. To be clean and to stand in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. You look at the Levitical laws and you think, oh my heavens, look at all these rules and regulations. I don't want to be a Christian because there's so many rules and regulations. But those rules and regulations kept them alive. You can't live in a tent city, Poppy, with all the germs that are there and all the human waste that's abundant everywhere, 2 to 3 million people, and not stay alive if you did not follow some sort of law or system to keep you clean. God gave them that, Steve, to give them a way out. to give them a way out, that they could stand in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. Do you realize that as we open our Bibles to the New Testament, we see the Jews in an even more state of rebellion towards God? They have made a mockery of His laws and His temple. The Jews had set up shop in the Gentile court where the Jews were supposed to witness to the Gentiles. This is where the Jews were to glorify the name of God, and this is where they were to make God's name great amongst the nations. All of this was taking place when Jesus started His ministry, and God still sent His Son out to witness to the Jews first and then also to the Greeks. How must it have felt for Jesus to know that the most of the people would never accept Him as their Messiah, yet He still made Himself known to them? How must that have felt? Son, you know they're not going to accept you, but I'm going to send you anyway. You see what they've done, and you see what they've done to the system of laws that we gave them to keep them pure and holy and righteous. You see what they've done. They've made a mockery of it, but I'm going to send you anyway. How must Jesus have felt? How could He have felt, church? Listen, He came anyway. God tried to give them a way out, but they refused. Listen, why did Jesus turn the tables over in the Gentile court? Why did He do that? Why in the world did He do that? I just talked about it a second ago. Scripture tells us at least two times Jesus went to the temple, found them buying and selling, and He goes in there and he's mad. It's, you know, people say, well, Jesus doesn't get mad. Oh, yeah, Jesus gets mad. He was mad. He made a whip and physically beat them out of the temple the second time. Why did Jesus do that? To give them a way out. To let them know and to understand this is not the way of God. Listen, you've made a mockery. He didn't let them continue doing it without saying something. Jesus said something because He wanted them to know that it was wrong. Do you know why we have the Word of God? Same reason. We're without excuse. Y'all know that, right? Things that we do, things that we're getting ready to do, and we know they're wrong. Listen, the Word of God tells us they're wrong. We don't have to question. We don't have to ask. Just this past week, I started telling the Wednesday night class this, and I forgot which way I was going. But I was debating these guys in Africa, and they were pastors, and we were talking about, you know, different aspects of the church. And Brother Frank, they asked me a question, and I stopped, and I said, listen, guys, I want you to understand something. You just ask a question that I do not have the luxury of forming opinion on, because the Word of God is very clear on this subject. I either stand with the Word of God or I'm on my own. That's the problem that most Christians find themselves in. And they say, God, you know, God, why have you allowed this to happen to me? God didn't allow it to happen to you. The Word of God is very clear. Scripture says that the Word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And if you don't use your lamp on your path, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. If He says don't do it, don't do it. Brother Kyle, is it that easy? Oh, yeah. It really is. But you know the unbelievable part, Tony? Listen, when you do fail God, God always gives you a way out. He always gives you a way to return to Him. Church, do you understand today that Jesus and Jesus alone is God's way of giving every man who has ever walked on this earth a way into heaven and a way out of hell? This morning, if you're sitting there and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to tell you that Jesus is He wants you to accept Him. That is your way out. He is your way out. There is no other way to get to heaven. There is no plan B. There is no way around accepting Jesus and still going to heaven. Listen to me. Let me say that again. There is no way around not accepting Jesus and still going to heaven. You can't do it. You can't be good enough. You can't work enough. You cannot love enough. Listen, you can't love the way God told you to love without the love of Jesus in your life. You either accept Jesus as the Lord, your Lord and Savior, or you will be going to hell. Brother Kyle, that's not nice. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. If you have not and you will not accept Jesus, you might as well, listen, you go out there and enjoy the heat because it's going to get hotter later on when you die. Preacher, I don't believe that. Well, let me just tell you. When you come to your senses, and you will believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Scripture says every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess. You can either do it while you're alive or you will do it when you're dead, but you will bow before my Jesus. You know, God allowed His Son to be falsely accused, beaten to a pulp, and then murdered, that you have a way out. You have a way out. God has given you a way. Don't ever say that He has not done His part. Church, God has done His part. God's done His part. And I want to ask you, like I ask so many times, what more can God do to open your eyes? You can walk out and look at His creation and see how marvelous and magnificent He is. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, God reveals Himself through His creation. You can even look at yourself, your image, and see the hand of God. You're without excuse. Church, can you imagine in days to come, there'll be someone who sat in these very seats this morning, who stands before God and tries to plead his case to God for not accepting His Son as His personal Savior. Y'all know that's going to happen, right? Somebody who sat in these pews at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church at some point in time or another is going to stand before God and say, God, I didn't know. I didn't know. Listen to me, and listen well. If you die without accepting the truth of Jesus and who Jesus is, then it is your fault. If you want to know the truth is free for you to know. If you die without Jesus, it is your own fault. God has done more than His part. How in the world can you ask God to give more than His Son? Show me more. Show me more. How dare you ask God to give you more that you may know? His Son was enough. More than enough. Church, do you realize that God didn't stop with His Son, though? Craig, God didn't stop with His Son being murdered. Do you know that the Scripture this morning tells us the extra step God made that we may know the way out, have another way out, that we may help others find their way out as well? Did you see it this morning when I read it a few minutes ago, Steve? I mean, it's right there. God did all that He'd done, and it's enough. We shouldn't ask for more, but He gives us another step, another way out. Another way to come to Him. I made a comment a week or so ago that went something like this. The only way we truly fail God is when we see that we have failed and we do not repent. The only real way we'll ever truly fail God is when we see that we failed God and we don't repent of that failure. Church, failure is failing God and refusing to ask God to forgive you. The only reason a person who calls themselves a Christian would do such a thing is if they thought that what they had done was right. Listen to me. I know some of y'all are sitting there thinking. Listen to me. But according to Scripture, we read this morning in 1 John, that is not possible. If a Christian does something that is wrong, there is no possible way in their mind that if it's truly wrong, that it can stay that way. Brother Kyle, what in the world are you talking about? Listen, the Spirit that lives within you screams out to you when you failed God and begs you to repent. Scripture says, greater is He that was within you than he that is in this world. You listen, what that means, church, what that means is this. It's what Amy's granddaddy used to preach every Sunday. Y'all listen, this is deep theology. Y'all can write this down in your Bibles. What that means is you can't sin and get by. You can't do it. If conditional. If the Holy Spirit is living within you and you fail God, the Holy Spirit is going to be screaming to you, get right, get right. It's like the Old Testament living inside of you. Jason, it's like, get right, get right, get right. You cannot not get right because the Holy Spirit's living within you. If you're a Christian, you can't sin and get by. You want to get it right. You've got to get it right. Brother Kyle, that doesn't happen to me. Really? You mean the Holy Spirit of God resides in you and you can live like hell and it doesn't bother you? Something's wrong there, brother. That doesn't add up. That's like 1 plus 2 equals negative 63. It doesn't add up. Do you understand, church, the complexity of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in your life? When you accepted Jesus as your Savior, Jesus gave us the Spirit, and He lives with us every day. And let me tell you that the Holy Spirit does not just lead you back to God when you failed Him. The Holy Spirit of God pleads with you not to fail Him to begin with. Are you heading in a direction that the Word of God says don't go? The Holy Spirit of God that's living inside of you because you call yourself a Christian ought to be screaming. One of the greatest messages I've ever preached and the greatest messages of all time is called the Red Lights to Hell. Anybody of y'all ever heard that message? It's on the internet, Red Lights to Hell. And the premise behind this message is there's a bridge out. And there's a man driving towards this bridge, and it's a dark, stormy night. And there's some people who know the bridge is out. And they know that people are getting off the highway and heading towards that bridge. Y'all with me? And listen, there's signs that say the bridge is out, but you know, there's people that are driving past the signs and going straight towards the bridge at 100 miles an hour. But there's somebody with a light standing in the middle of the road with a lantern warning them all. What are you saying there, Brother Kyle? Listen to me. The Bible is screaming that the bridge is out. It's screaming that the bridge is out. There are road maps all over the place. Don't take this road. Don't take this path. It leads to destruction. And the Holy Spirit of God is the man who stands in the road with a lamp, begging you, pleading with you, don't go down this road. Jason, there's still people who go. It blows my mind. I see Christians making decisions that are totally against the Word of God, and this is what they're doing. They're saying, hey, I'm riding down the road, and I see the bridges out. I see the signs. I saw that sign. I saw that sign. Yeah, I saw that sign. I'm still driving. There's the Holy Spirit standing in the middle of the road. Hey, Holy Spirit, I'm going anyway. Are you kidding me? Why would you go down a path that God's Word says don't go? The Holy Spirit's just killing you inside. Don't do it. Don't do it. The reason He's screaming at you is because He doesn't want you to fail. We don't have to fail. God has always given every man that has ever lived in this world a way out. Always given man a way out. Do you know what this means? God is giving us, who are Christians, a way out before we even need a way out. That's pretty good, isn't it? He could have stopped. Bob, he should have stopped with his son. But he indwelt Christians with the Holy Spirit of God. Loved us so much, Tony, that he gave us not only a way out, but an indicator to keep us on the right path on a daily basis. Nope. Hey, listen, the closer I get to God, the more I study. And I am not perfect. I'm not. But this is the path. Remember, think of this as the path that God created for me. Listen, as I walk towards God And the closer I get to God, if I take just an inch to the right or an inch to the left, Holy Spirit says, don't do that, It used to be when I first got saved that my wife, the Holy Spirit of God lived in her, and she straightened me out. I used to say some words, and she'd say, you really ought not say that. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't do that. She still has to sometimes, not the words. But listen, now the Holy Spirit of God lives within me, and He guides me. Now I say to her, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go. Don't go. That's horrible. Church, God gives us a way out. Let me ask you, when was the last time you heard the Holy Spirit of God pleading with you before you failed God? When was the last time that you failed God and you heard the Holy Spirit of God calling you to return to God? God has always given man a way out, a way to return to Him. If you have never heard the Holy Spirit pleading or calling you, it's a pretty good indicator that you do not belong to the same God that I do. If you belong to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will never leave you alone to live a life of sin and rebellion. He won't. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? Have you ever accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Hey, listen, this morning, if you hadn't, during the invitation, I want you to walk straight down to me and grab me by the hand. Let me show you what the Word of God says, not me. What the Word of God says every person must do to be born again, to have eternal life, to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that I've talked about here this morning. Christian, let me ask you, when was the last time you heard the Holy Spirit talking to you? Could it be that you've pushed God so far out of your life that you can't even hear the Holy Spirit anymore? It might be that you need to come down and just spend some time with God this morning. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins right now, asking you to forgive us where we fail you, God, and we know we do. God, but you love us so much that you've given us the resources, the opportunity, Lord, to hear from you regularly through your Holy Spirit. But God, you've always given us a way out. And Lord, if there's somebody here this morning who's never accepted you gave your Son that they might have eternal life, I pray that this morning, this day is the day of their salvation. Lord, would you let your Spirit beckon with them right now to walk down the aisle and receive you this morning. In Christ Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you need to come for any reason whatsoever at all, this altar is open for you. Will you come right now? Don't wait.